My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
That's the second hour. We're taking you to noon. Then we will hand it over to D'Lo and KC. What do we got coming up? We've got, what do we got? It's the Thursday. For the final time in the Pac-12 regular season, we will have ASU at UCLA. That is coming up on Thursday at 6:30, and then this weekend we'll have some college basketball for you. Kentucky at Tennessee and an SEC matchup, and then we've got Boston at Phoenix at 5 p.m. Saturday. Charlie, our boss, thinks he's clever, and on our little look-ahead thing wrote Boston by 50 at Phoenix. So,
oh. Okay.
A real funny guy, Charlie.
I didn't get any of that sheet today, which is fine.
That's because it's the same one as yesterday.
Oh, I left that here for Kenny, so
all good.
He may have made a paper airplane.
I left mine here, and I grabbed the one out of Jesse's room.
Oh, you just stole from Jesse?
Yeah. That's just how we do it around here. Did you by any chance see the Arch Manning opting out of EA Sports thing?
No.
So EA Sports bring back NCAA football.
Okay.
Which it hasn't been around for almost 2 decades.
Because of franchise, because of like money, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15 years maybe it's been, 12, 15 okay. years, whatever. But they're finally bringing it back because now they can pay the players. And so what players had to do was sign a PDF basically that release their name, image, and likeness to EA Sports.
They got a DocuSign document from somebody.
And then they got I forget the exact number. You get a grand or 600 or whatever that is. And Arch Manning is like, I don't want to do that. I want to focus on playing.
Instead of just taking the money? I could see him saying, I don't want to do it. I want more money. Because I'm Arch Manning.
Right. And if that's what it is, if signing up for this makes him ineligible for X, Y, and Z sponsorship, then sure. Like if EA Sports has a deal with, with Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
And now Arch Manning can't go get NIL money from any other auto service place, then okay, sure, I get it.
Yeah.
But man, if you're random backup safety, Go get your.
Yeah, but that's not a lot of money for him. So for him, he's got to look at that just like, hey, why would I take that money? I get it. I mean, cover some books, but
$600 it is.
Oh yeah, that's for a player like that. I understand it. I always got like Michael Jordan wouldn't do a lot of the EA Sports stuff when like years ago, right? So you could play the game, but Michael wasn't in it, mm-hmm. and it was always frustrating. It's like
yeah, shout out to John Dowd. Real ones know. Some people in the chatty house are going to get that, and I'm going to love those people very much.
Okay.
Do you get the John Dowd reference?
No.
MVP Baseball 2005, perhaps the greatest baseball video game ever made.
Okay.
I loved Barry
Hardball.
Bonds.
Hardball was amazing.
Sure.
Yeah, and Baseball Stars. Baseball Stars was amazing.
Sure. Another one I didn't play.
Yeah.
But Barry Bonds did not give his name, image, and likeness to EA Sports. So when the Giants left fielder came to bat, it was a lefty named John Dowd. And John Dowd absolutely raked. You could not get him out.
That's
absolute
amazing.
Superstar.
That's hilarious.
I was at a Giants game one time and I saw a guy wearing a Dowd. I believe he's number 51.
Oh, that's amazing.
Just a Dowd jersey. Like, man, that's really good.
That's amazing. You also, you shout out to John Dowd, but John Bull. John Bull's birthday yesterday. Did you punch him in the face for his birthday?
No, but now I'm glad the Kings lost.
Mm.
No. I don't mean that. I love John. Happy belated to John
Ruined Bull. His day.
If it's your birthday, let us know in the chatty house and we will...
See, David knows where it's at. Baseball Stars is the best baseball game of all time. And also, what was the first? Hardball. I believe Hardball, if you've ever watched The Princess Bride, that's what Fred Savage is playing when his grandfather comes in.
Okay.
Peter Falk is his grandfather.
Yeah.
Columbo.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in and he's playing Hardball. I play that on the Commodore 64.
Do you still do that?
No.
I bet you could find like a...
Yeah, I could probably. Yeah. You know what? There was like a Commodore 64 box. And there's also... My son has... I don't know. It's like a little tiny computer called like a Raspberry or something. And you can... It comes with all of the games from ever. Like you can play Contra and everything else. So...
That sounds remarkable. Pablo Sanchez was a dog. Backyard baseball. Petey Wheeler. I played backyard baseball on the computer for grand total in my life 490 hours.
Wow.
Minimum.
That's a lot.
I played so much.
I played a lot of Madden when I was younger, like before we had kids. And then once you have kids, it's really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also shout out to our friend Mike Brown, who it's his birthday today. I think he's 54.
Oh. Hey. Congratulations to Mike Brown. You did it. Yeah. Love that for him.
Yeah. We've been derailed.
Yeah, we have. So Arch Manning, not going to be in EA Sports. You'll have to play with Art Manningham instead. I would love that job.
To come up with the names?
Yes. Give me fake name generator job.
Yeah, but you know, you get like any of those games, you get like 5, 6, 8 seasons in. All of a sudden, it's like you're drafting a wide receiver in the draft, and they always have very similar names. And like,
I don't care.
Yeah, you're just creating names. That would be awesome.
It'd be so much fun.
What would be your favorite name that you put out there?
Oh, geez. That requires a lot of thought.
Okay.
Bert. Definitely the first name, Bert. Just start giving them like obvious celebrity names. Bert Reynolds.
Oh.
Bert Hacksaw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an offensive guard from TCU.
Okay.
Bert Hacksaw.
There it is.
Tap in.
Amazing.
I was watching the Bulls last night. We talked about this before the game. The Bulls aren't good. But they have enough players who can beat you that you have to take them seriously. They're not bad in the way that the Pistons are bad.
Yeah.
Or in the way the Wizards are bad. Like, they have dudes. It's just the wrong collection of dudes, right?
Yes.
And there were six players in that game that did things during the game where I'm like, man, the Kings could use this guy.
I told you that before. Told you that yesterday. Yeah. I'm like, how many guys?
Absolutely right.
When you look, you're like, man, I would take Alex Caruso. Man, I would take him. I would take DeMar DeRozan. Like, not for the money that he makes and all that stuff. It would be like very difficult.
Yeah.
Kobe White. They didn't even have Patrick Williams.
Yeah.
Like, they have a bunch of dudes that you're looking at. And you're like, huh? Yeah. You can play.
Yeah.
But I compare them to the Orlando Magic. Like, for years and years, the Orlando Magic had all of these players, and you're like, hey, that guy would look great in a Kings uniform. That guy would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And it never, ever, ever worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to move on. When a team doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's kind of where, like, the Bulls are right now. But that doesn't mean they can't snake bite you.
Well, last night was a perfect example of that. Kobe White goes 14 of 19. If he goes 12 of 19, the Bulls probably lose.
Yeah.
That's still a really good game. If DeMar DeRozan, instead of going 10 of 12, goes 8 of 12, the Kings probably win that game.
Yep.
They just had enough. Kobe White and DeMar DeRozan combining for 70 is just bananas, dude. That can't happen.
In all honesty, that's the only way you're going to lose that game.
Right.
If those
which is
two
how I
guys...
Don't know, which is how I don't know how it happens.
Yeah.
I understand that, okay, stopping DeMar DeRozan is much easier said than done, right? He's been in the league for 14 years now?
Something like that.
2009, 2010?
Forever.
14, 15 years. He's been in the league a long time doing exactly what he did last night.
Yes.
Just saying, hey, stop DeMar DeRozan isn't necessarily super easy.
Just beating you from the mid-range.
Right, but you would think that they would have something for Kobe White and DeRozan, but it was Kobe White early in the game. DeMar DeRozan takes over in the fourth quarter, and there was just never an answer. And that is just what stands out the most to me from last night and continues to stand out to me, is when the Kings need a stop, they can't get one.
I get it, especially if Keegan Murray's in foul trouble. You're not going to be able to get it. And again, last night, what could you have done differently? Could you have put Kessler Edwards out there?
Sure.
Okay, maybe. But could you have
make offense harder?
Given someone a really hard foul? Maybe that's what you could have done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just rough somebody up a little bit and say, hey, no, enough of that.
Yeah.
But the dude's a great free throw shooter. He's going to go to the line and knock him down.
Right. He's been hard fouled before.
He even pulled up from three and knocked down a three. That guy doesn't shoot threes.
Mm-hmm. He also had that ridiculous long two from the corner.
Yeah. He hit some great shots. Some
really tough shots.
Yeah. And that's why you don't want to give guys confidence, and they gave him confidence, and they got beat.
Yeah. That's where you talk about the Kessler Edwards stuff. Like, the Kings were having trouble scoring, too. They scored 18 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, there's some defensive problems for sure, but they had more problems offensively, too, that I'm not sure Davion Mitchell or Kessler Edwards helped. And that's kind of, when we talk about roster construction, I think that's kind of the larger problem, is the lack of credible defensive threats or credible defenders who are also offensive threats enough to stay on the court.
Yeah, and the one guy that may have been that guy last night was Chris Duarte, and he lost his mind for a couple of minutes.
Yeah. All right. We got more of this, good, bad, and ugly, and we got to talk some football stuff. We'll do that next.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Look, if you were at Disneyland, all I ask is that if you're going to stop and take a photo in the middle of Main Street or on a sidewalk, just move to the side. Make sure there's not people directly behind you when you stop suddenly in the middle of a mass of people all walking the same direction. A little courtesy, that's all. That's all I
ask. Agree. I'm with you.
All right.
Yeah.
If you'd like in on that conversation, hang out with us in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. And of course, you can bark at us anytime on the Farmer's Dog Talk line, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. I want to put a pin in the Kings very briefly, but first we have to get to our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game. You can enter to win right now a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube. It's like an oil change.
plus.
For just entering this code word that we're going to give you. You will enter to win one of those. And then you will also be entered to win a Sacramento Kings jersey. Shout out to our guy, David D., who is picking up his jersey. He was our February winner. He will be here today, I heard, per
it's
sources.
A slick jersey.
Per sources. That's the De'Aaron Fox City Edition.
Ooh. It was nice.
Really fire.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping when Jackie brought it out that she was like, here, we have an extra.
Oh.
I was going to be fired up about it. That's not
just
what she was
wear
doing.
That yourself.
It's for David. It's for David. It's fine. No, but our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game, we give one out after every single Kings game. This last night was one of those ones where you couldn't give it to a Kings player.
No.
So your code word, your Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game is DeMar DeRozan. He had 19 fourth quarter points. He outscored the Kings in the fourth quarter by himself. And so your keyword, nice and easy, DeMar, D-E-M-A-R. Go enter that at ESPN1320.com. You'll see the Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page. Just click on that, enter the keyword DeMar, and you will be entered to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and a Sacramento Kings jersey. Let's put a pin in the Kings briefly and talk about the 49ers. They hired a defensive coordinator over the weekend. They hired Nick Sorensen, who's been with their staff since 2022. He was a defensive assistant. He was the defensive passing game specialist the last year. He came up with the Seahawks. He played in the league for like a decade as a safety. Came up with the Seahawks under Pete Carroll for like 8 years. He was at special teams and did some defensive assistant work, and then he was the defensive backs coach, I believe. This is the right hire, I think.
Interesting.
It is an internal candidate who has been with the team for a couple years. He knows what they're looking for defensively. He knows the Pete Carroll system that Kyle Shanahan in general wants to run. It felt like from the jump, if it wasn't Nick Sorensen or Daniel Bullock, the 49ers safeties coach, I didn't think they were going to go external candidate again. I think they wanted to keep it in-house. I think they wanted to keep it with somebody who was in meetings with Steve Wilks and knew kind of generally what was right and what was wrong with the defense last year. So this one makes sense to me.
Yeah, I like the hire. I mean, this is, you need continuity.
I agree.
And when you're this good of a team, it's not like you can go out there and just rearrange what you're doing. Switch right. defensive schemes from a 3-4 to a 4-3 or right. 4-3 to 3-4. Like, whatever it was wrong with Steve Wilks. I don't want to blame him 100%. I just feel
No, he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, just like kind of like an odd, like whatever, like nothing looked perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like things always looked a little off.
Yeah.
And maybe you get that what you needed from somebody else who just has like a better feel for what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody that players respond to as well. That I think matters in this process too. The more interesting thing to me was that Brandon Staley got hired as an assistant head coach. And it makes me wonder, did the 49ers I didn't think he was ever a viable defensive coordinator candidate for what you just said.
Yeah.
Like he is a 3-4 guy, he's a Vic Fangio guy. That is a different defense than what the 49ers want to run. And trying to bring in a Fangio guy and saying, hey, run this Pete Carroll system was not like that. That was the whole problem and the reason they jettisoned Steve Wilks.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fit wasn't right. So it never felt like Brandon Staley was a real candidate for that DC spot. My question is whether, is he a guide for Nick Sorensen, where he can point out certain things and help with game planning and then help with whatever else the assistant head coach does? Or is he there in general for that, but is he more there to help Kyle Shanahan and say, this is the different ways I would exploit your offense and kind of give him that pushback in offensive meeting rooms? I have some very serious concerns about Brandon Staley being on the staff.
I don't have a ton of concerns because I think that it's a friend helping a friend rebuild after a really rough go.
Maybe.
And I think that that's okay because I think he is a bright mind.
Mm-hmm.
I just think like whatever it was, it happened in San Diego, he wasn't ready for that.
Sure.
And so sometimes you need to like reassess and rebuild who you are. And I think that having, you know, again, as many smart people in the room that know the game, that have mm-hmm. ideas, they can say, hey, how about this or this, or to, you know, maybe push you to give you a little bit more thought on specific issues. Yeah. I think that that's a good thing. And also, like, you don't want to leave a guy out. If you're building a young guy up and you're helping him get from step one to step two, you know, this whole group of coaches that are kind of working together that have helped mm-hmm. each other as they're establishing themselves in the league. If one of them flames out in a coaching job, I don't think you want to just leave him out there, because you knew you had him in the room before. You've known him. You've had friends that know him. Like, there should be a place for someone like him to reestablish himself and say, okay, how do I get better? How do I move forward?
Yeah.
And so I'm okay with him being there as long as it's not just like a problem. As long as he doesn't still feel like he is a head coach,
right?
That he's got to have his stamp or whatever.
He is the defensive coordinator, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen guys who just kind of get left out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, look what happened with Eric Bieniemy, who's like
coaching in college now.
He's coaching in college after being
totally insane.
The offensive coordinator for one of the greatest offenses we've ever seen. And sure, Andy Reid is running things. Mm-hmm. He's right there with him. So I don't know if he interviews bad and Staley interviews good, and so we get to this weird thing, but I still think that you need to, if you're part of the fraternity and you believe in a coach one day, you really can't not believe in him another day, and you need to like try to bring him back into the mm-hmm. fold and try to help him out. So I don't mind it.
Yeah, I think this is Kyle Shanahan's way of saying, like, I'm clearly doing something wrong in these big games offensively. And he's bringing in Brandon Staley as a kind of, because Jordan Rodriguez wrote about this in The Athletic. She's on the Rams beat down there in L.A., for The Athletic. She wrote this really, really good story a few years back about the practice clashes between Brandon Staley and Sean McVay. Very similar offenses. So that's kind of what I think this is. And I think when Staley interviewed for the DC job, it was more interviewing for the assistant head coach job, because now he is in image rehab mode.
Yeah.
That was a disaster with the Chargers.
Disaster. No.
Couldn't have gone a lot worse. Their one playoff trip, they blew like a 27-point lead.
He may never get another shot, but... Yeah. I don't know.
This is his way of going about it, or maybe getting another defensive coordinator gig or whatever it is.
Yeah,
is helping out. So yeah, I don't hate it, but I definitely have some reservations. We will punt the mock draft thing for another day.
Okay.
And let's go through good, bad, and ugly. And something keeps happening in the animal world that has annoyed me a little bit. Not annoyed me. We just need to all come to grips with something that I was noticing today on the internet.
Oh, all right. I'm in.
You sure?
I'm in, Kyle.
Are you down to go? Are you down to talk nature documentaries with me?
Of course.
Okay. All right. Buckle up. We'll have good, bad, and ugly from the Kings game last night. And we'll begin looking ahead to what's next for Sacramento. These next four games are pretty important. We'll go through those as well. And the handoff. D'Lo is going to be in today. D'Lo and KC. All that's coming up in the final segment on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Quick reminder, in case you missed it, our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game from last night was DeMar DeRozan. So go to ESPN1320.com, enter the code word. Well, you click on the Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page. You can't miss it. It's right there in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Enter the code word DEMAR, D-E-M-A-R, and enter to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and be entered to win a Sacramento Kings jersey that we will give away at the end of the month. You were asking about the Kings shooting splits, home and road.
Yeah, they're really good shooting at home.
38.4% from three at home, 35.8% from three on the road.
And their overall field goal, 48.7 versus 47.9. Their true shooting number, 59.6 versus 58.1. I've always found it strange that they don't do shoot around inside Golden 1.
Hmm.
But that doesn't seem to matter. It's, I think, their defense that is ridiculously bad at home. And it almost feels like they're using the energy of the crowd to push them as opposed to creating their own energy on the defensive end, which is something that you have to do on the road.
Opponents against the Kings at Golden 1 Center this year are shooting 49.9% from the field and 39.9% from three.
Ooh, at home.
At home. Team shooting 50-40 against them.
Ooh.
That's inexplicable.
Wow.
It's 48 and 39% on the road. It's not like they're great on the road.
But yeah.
50-40 at home is really tough, man.
A true shooting percentage of 610.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what in the world? Yeah, that's wild.
I would love to... Is that... That's got to just be coincidence, right?
I don't know. At home, they're scoring 121.1... and they're giving up 120.6. On the road, they're giving up 115.5.
Is Golden 1 just easy to score in?
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe the sidelines are too good. I don't know. I just know that if opponents
hey,
are
Golden
shooting...
Golden 1, have worse sightlines.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting outshot badly at home. And again, the point that I always make with this is that when you're on the road, almost most of the time... You do your shoot around in the visiting gym, like where you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like at Houston is a place where on occasion they'll let you use their practice facility.
Mm-hmm.
But like most time when you're on the road and
you go for a
shoot around.
Yeah.
I would show up for a shoot around on the road. You show up at the arena and they lead you down to the court and you have to wait until they're done. And then you go in and all the guys are still shooting and all that stuff. Just at home, like they use a practice facility for shoot around. The Kings do, and I mean clearly they're still shooting the ball well at home, better than they are on the road. But you're getting outshot by 12%. Well, not by 12, by 1.2% from the field overall, and by 5.15 from three versus your opponent who is warming up in your gym. Like, the Kings don't let other teams use their practice facility.
Maybe they should.
Yeah. I think there is a possibility if a team is going to be there like multiple days. Like, we have this situation where Dallas is going to be in Sacramento. Yeah.
Two home games in like three days.
3 or 4 days. I think there's 2 days off between.
Yeah.
So it's possible they could say, hey, can we use your gym? And the Kings could say yes, they could say no. But if they let them use the practice facility, that would be like, it's not a standard operating thing.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get to good, bad, and ugly from the game last night?
Okay.
I think I know what was ugly.
I think we all know what was good and what was bad and what was ugly. And...
yeah, let me on the fly do a little, try and create a little intro here. I hope this doesn't violate something on YouTube. I'm just going to fire it up and we'll see how it goes. It is time for good, bad, and ugly from the Kings' loss to the Chicago Bulls last night. James, get us started.
Getting Fox back.
I got to write a better script.
I was like round ball of rock right there. Like, yeah. All I can think of is John Tesh. That was my problem. That's why I didn't just like jump right in.
John Tesh!
Just like...
yeah.
I mean, you've seen it, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, where he plays on the answering machine.
Yeah.
When he thought of the theme.
Oh, yeah.
And then he called his own answering machine so he could get the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba out. Yeah.
Haven't we had this discussion one time on the show?
We've had this discussion at least once, maybe twice.
Maybe twice.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was good from last night?
Getting Fox back on the court. That's huge for the Kings. Mm-hmm. Even though it was in a loss, the fact that he was able to fight through the bone bruise in his knee and get back out there. He is a guy who historically heals fast, but who's also, he's willing to go out there and play when he's not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he looked good. They didn't finish the game.
Yeah. And that's a little bit, I thought one of the good things from last night, I thought Keegan Murray early in the game was really, really good defensively. And obviously that kind of fell apart down the stretch. He got in some foul trouble. DeMar DeRozan made some really tough shots late. But early in the game, the reason that DeMar DeRozan did not go for 40 last night was because of Keegan Murray's defense early.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was very, very good.
Yeah, he had 14 like through three quarters, and it wasn't on great shooting.
Mm-mm.
And then all of a sudden, he just was on a mission in the fourth.
Three of five through the first three quarters?
Yeah. They were limiting him.
Mm-hmm.
But the 7 of 8 from the free throw line showed you that there was a problem.
Yeah.
That Keegan and a few others were already picking up fouls.
Yep.
And that was one of the bigger problems.
Yep. All right. What was bad from last night? Actually, I guess should we hit a buzzer for when something's bad?
Oh, okay.
What was bad from last night?
DeMar DeRozan and Kobe White just getting flat out loose. Like
70 points between two dudes is too many points.
And they're only two scorers.
They're only two.
Yeah, I mean, Vucevic can hoist a three, but he's just not a scorer anymore. That is who your scorer is. Dosunmu had a solid game.
Yeah.
I mean, he ended up with 20 as well. To let those guys go crazy, that I think that was Kobe White's career high.
Yes.
It's wild.
Surpassing the career high he set in 2021.
Against the Kings?
Against the Kings.
Which was what, 35, 36?
I don't know. I didn't look up the exact number.
No, it's all right.
I'm remembering Sean Cunningham's tweet. Yeah, man. I will say this, though. Kobe White's improvement has been bonkers.
Yeah.
He has been so, so good. And I thought last night, he knocked down some big threes. He had that move on Harrison Barnes where he just lost him on a dribble from the perimeter. Really quick first step. I was very, very impressed with Kobe White last night. Like, I knew he had gotten better, but he was excellent.
No, I totally agree. I mean, he was a total difference maker.
Yep. Bad thing for me. I was too loud. I'm sorry, everybody. Domantas Sabonis fouled out again. I need. He is too important for them offensively. I need him, even if it means like, hey, I'm just gonna business it. I got four fouls. Business decision. They're getting an easy layup.
Yeah.
I know that's really hard to do as a basketball player. Because you think, I can block this. I can affect this shot. But offense for the Kings is much, much harder when it's not Domantas Sabonis at center.
Okay, so...
not necessarily blaming him. It's just when you look at the things that went wrong last night, that one really jumped out to me.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. Domas is a player that on occasion goes through a streak where he fouls out a bunch, right? We saw his the beginning of last season. He fouled out a whole bunch early in the season. I think that most of the time that Domas fouls out, like there are times where this isn't the case, but most of the time it's because somebody else let them down and somebody gets to the rim and Domas is trying to help out as a help defender. Mm-hmm. And either doesn't get there in time or just picks up a ticky-tack foul. Mm-hmm. And I think that his fouls, like especially the bulk games where he gets 5-6, they really are predicated on other people being bad defensively and getting cooked. And then he's trying to be a good teammate and ends up getting in foul trouble because of it. There are on occasion the silly offensive fouls. He does get too handsy on occasion, but the difference between him having three or four fouls and him fouling out is usually a mistake by somebody else.
Sure. And it's, like I said, for me, it's just knowing I'm playing with four, I'm playing with five. I can't get in the way of the shot. Like there's sometimes you got to let the guy go and they're going to get an easy bucket, but I would take that and having Domas on the court versus, hey, tried to get a stop. Fouled him. Now you're out of the game. Now they're shooting free throws.
Live to fight another day.
Yeah, yeah. That's just again not a major gripe. Just a something I'd like to see moving forward.
Yeah.
What was ugly from last night?
36-18 fourth quarter in Bulls favor. That's what I have. You just melted down.
Yeah, that's.
You got outscored by 18. Lost by 4.
Led by 22 with 3.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Led by 14 going into the fourth. That's one where it's like, get a bucket and a stop and a bucket and the game's over. And it just that sequence never happened.
Yeah, I also felt like I didn't have the sense that they were going to lose, but some of the people around me started freaking out about the run. And I'm like, I'm just not convinced. Like, DeMar DeRozan had to be perfect for them to lose. That's how it worked out. And he was. I mean, he was absolutely unbelievable. But if he doesn't go 7 of 7, there's a good chance they don't win the game in the fourth quarter. And so, yeah, that was weird. Again, a meltdown in the fourth quarter. It's tough to watch.
They even got it back. The point that I thought they weren't going to lose was with 5.5 minutes to go when Domas hit a couple of free throws to get it back to 9. It's like, okay, they got it 10-9, they stabilized, but then DeMar DeRozan gets a bucket. Domas gets it stolen underneath the basket. Dosunmu hits a 3, and now it's right back to 4 less than a minute later.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, that just is a brutal stretch. For me, it was in the fourth quarter, sticking with this theme for what was ugly, it felt like nobody wanted smoke in the fourth quarter offensively.
Hot potato.
So, dude, so many open looks, whereas Trey Lyles specifically, not to say, single him out, everybody had their issues with this. There were a couple of kickouts that got stolen where it's like, man, just go to the hoop.
Yeah.
I understand it. I understand the spray 3, but also you need points.
Yeah.
You just need to get a layup, dog. Like there's times to drive and kick, and that's the offense. I totally get it. But there's other times it's like, go give me a layup. Trey Lauser was one that really sticks out, though. He's like above the break, and he like caught it, and he started to shoot, and then he like took a step forward, and then he went, oh, I should have, and now he's passing it. It just, if it's not going to be De'Aaron Fox and it's not going to be Malik Monk, somebody needs to do literally anything. And that was, of all the things that were concerning last night, down the stretch, I thought their offense was very, very tough. And that specifically, you talk about Malik Monk, 1 field goal attempt in the fourth quarter.
That just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And like, it's not a long-term indictment on the team. It's just when you talk about last night, like, man, I would have wished that had gone differently.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen Keegan Murray not go 1 of 2 from the field or Harrison Barnes not go 0-for-1. Like, it just felt like what you said, that nobody wanted to step up and take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Trey Lyles actually did. I mean, he was 2-of-5. So he did actually take some of the shots.
Mm-hmm.
But just like the grind it to a halt, like 0-for-6 from 3 in the fourth quarter. Like, it just, I don't know. It's hard to like wrap your brain around a team melting down in such a way in one quarter after playing pretty solid basketball up until that point.
Bottom line to me is De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk are going to be your closers.
Mm-hmm.
At least they have been and they should be. If your two closers are in the fourth quarter going to combine for 5 shot attempts and 4 turnovers and 0 made field goals,
probably not 5.
Probably not winning that game.
Probably not going to win it.
That's tough. Sorry. I forgot that you do that yourself. That's my bad. Damian Barling here for the handoff. That was a tough one last night.
Yeah, that's certainly a way of putting it. I'll push back. It wasn't just the fourth quarter. Things completely fell apart for them at the end of the third.
Yeah.
Like, you sensed it. Like, it was a 7-0 run from Chicago to close that game out. And I pulled up. I had the tremendous distinction of pulling up their 18 turnovers and watching them one after the other after the other.
How was that?
A lot of it, salute to Chicago. That's a tough basketball team. It's what we talked about yesterday. Like, that's mm-hmm. a tough basketball team. They're not going to roll over. Like, those are tough dudes who are going to fight on a night-to-night basis. And we reeled off some of the victories that they've had over this last, you know, three-week stretch or so since the last time they played Sacramento. But a lot of the turnovers the Kings had, like, Herter had at least 2 where he was in the air and didn't know what to do with the ball. De'Aaron had one of those. Malik had one of those. It was mm-hmm. like they were so unsure of what they were doing. And it was weird. The Phoenix game, I remember, as that 22-point lead disappeared, it was just like, they're losing this game to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Like, they were up 7. I was like, they're losing this game.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought they were losing last night.
Ever.
Until the De'Aaron Fox turnover.
And when he threw it out of bounds?
Yeah, with 36 seconds left, I was like, they did it.
Yeah.
They're and I think you tweeted this. It's the exact thing I put in my notes. They're exactly who we've said they are.
That's it.
60 games into the season. And the uncomfortable part about this is, so that there's good news and there's bad news. The uncomfortable part about this is, dating back to January, Sacramento was a 500 basketball team.
Man,
that's what they are. I don't have my computer. It's like 12-12, I think, over the last 24 games. They're a 500 basketball team. But the good news is, I don't think the other teams are very good either, with the exception maybe of New Orleans.
We had that discussion.
I don't think Dallas is very good.
Nope.
Tomorrow's game now is massive. You've got a couple against Dallas that are going to be really big later on, but Dallas isn't going to run away with this. I don't think LA is going to run away with this. It'll be interesting to see how Golden State responds, you know, after the beating they got from Boston, because in the end, I can't stand Bob Myers, but he was right. It's just a loss. They were 3-1 on that road trip. Like, they're still, as of recent history, a really good basketball team. As are the Los Angeles Lakers, who beat Oklahoma City last night, despite the fact they lost to Denver a couple of nights ago. Like, those are really good basketball teams, but will they be able to maintain that pace for the next month and a half? And right now, I'm not really sure that they will. And the Sacramento Kings maintaining a 500 record, which is what they've been, might be enough to put the last week into play for the sixth spot.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd also point out, the Clippers did the exact same thing the Kings did last night. They played a Bucks team without
no Giannis, Chris Middleton,
without Middleton,
yeah,
and they blew a 20-point lead and they lost. Like, there is a big group of teams that aren't very good. There's a weird play that happens late in the game where Trey tries to dive for a ball and can't get a timeout or whatever, and they call him out of bounds. Right? They reset the shot clock to 14, and when I watched the play happen, it was like 16.8 seconds left and 14 on the shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
They adjusted the clock to 14.8 seconds remaining in a 14-second shot clock. And I don't know when they adjusted it.
Yeah.
But I also think that the Kings thought that they had 2.8 seconds, and that's why they played out that last possession trying for a steal.
I heard you talk to Mike about that.
Yes.
And I was very confused. I did not understand, because if memory serves me correctly, I'll pull it up here during the transition, but I don't think the shot clock was on the screen. So if you were you were obviously there.
Yes.
I'm watching from home. This is the second time in a closing moment that the shot clock hasn't been on the screen. When Malik airballed that shot against Minnesota, Kenny and I are looking at each other like, what the hell did he shoot that for? We had no idea the shot clock was running out.
That was the problem. Like, in Minnesota, very specifically, Malik, I don't think, knew that the shot clock was back on. There was 16-point-something seconds. He looked up and all of a sudden realized, oh, no, the shot clock is going off. Mm-hmm. He thought he had until the end of the game to take the shot at the final play of regulation.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like in this game as well. When Trey dove out of bounds, you could see the shot clock and you could see the game clock, and there was like 2-point-something seconds left. And so a difference between the two. So I think they went into that possession thinking that they had, if they got a stop, they would still have a second and a half, 2 seconds left to call a timeout. They had two timeouts to go down to the other end, set up a play, and potentially either tie it or win the game, whatever it was. And then when that didn't happen, when all of a sudden, like, they look up at the clock and like, oh, we're out of time. Yeah. They fouled, but they fouled way too late. There's 3 seconds left.
And everyone was confused. Even Mark was like, you guys might want to foul here.
Yeah, because I was confused too, because I was watching, then I looked at the whole scene, then I go to type what's happening on the floor, you know, like out of bounds, whatever. And then I look up and I'm like, wait, why is there 14.8 seconds left and a 14-second shot clock? Like, that's not what the clock looked like before. Yeah. So really strange.
Yeah. Very, very odd. And just kind of indicative, like, that's, this is just what it is, man.
Yeah,
you mentioned Chicago is not a team that they're going to fight. They're going to be tough. They're not going to roll over. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like we say that about the Kings ever.
That's absolutely,
and
not
that's
the
just
case
it.
The Kings, and it's a shame, because you give them credit, but where the Kings just kind of are who they are is, you know, I thought they took a couple of punches against Minnesota, and in one of the rare occasions this year, it feels like they sustained them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really, really quality win against Minnesota. I swear to you, we joked about it yesterday. We're live at the Sacramento Memorial Auditorium. We watched the final minutes play. We're high-fiving. We're celebrating, a small group of us in the back watching that concert and, you know, watching the game on our phone. And, you know, sarcasm kicks in. It's going to suck when they lose to Chicago on Monday.
But you just
know. And I
don't know
if it's a self-fulfilling prophecy or just the fact we know this freaking basketball team.
That's what it is.
And this is who they are. It's frustrating. It's infuriating. But this is exactly who they are. And for us to think missed free throws, three-point defense, or this up-and-down play is going to change at this point in the season?
It's not.
That's our fault. That's our fault.
That's why I said. I said after the Timberwolves game, I will not be bamboozled.
Mm-mm.
You're not getting me.
No.
Because the Kings were -7.5 last night, and it's like, give me the Bulls plus the 7.5.
We keep wanting to find reasons to be, hey, that player's only meaning, you know, maybe they're really locked in, had a hell of a response. You know, the fact that they took that Denver loss so hard without De'Aaron Fox, like, those were all things that, like, yo, those are really good things. And then you pull up the film from last night. You don't even need to pull up the film. Just watch it live.
Yeah.
The turnovers, the sloppy play, and I'll put some of this on Mike. Mike had the opportunity at the end of the third to get this game under control. Mm-hmm. Hey, calm down. There's 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter. And they just let it go. And it snowballed into the fourth. They scored like 20 points in the last 15 minutes of the game between the end of the third and the fourth.
Yikes.
It's terrible.
Really bad.
Terrible.
That's Damian Barling. He's coming up with Kenny Caraway next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.